Morning Show on East Coast FM.
All right, it used to be, you know, something wrong with your pet, you go down to the vet, but now, isn't it? A lot of things go on. And there's been Europe's biggest veterinary conference there recently, and Pete the Vet, Pete Weatherburn, from this neck of the woods, attended. He's on the line. Hi, Pete.
Good morning, Declan.
Good morning to you and all you vets get together. What do you talk about?
We talk about everything that you can possibly imagine. But the main, you know, anything to do with our work, what a lot of people might not realize is that vets are obliged to spend about 4 days a year getting educated, getting updated, because things keep changing. So I don't know if they have similar things to radio presenters, do they, Declan, where you go along and learn how to do radio presenting in the best possible way?
I can't remember. It's a long time ago.
So radio presenters, you're not regulated by any sort of statutory body or whatever, but vets are regulated by the Veterinary Council of Ireland. And as part of our license to be vets, we have to spend 3 or 4 days going away and learning. And that's what I was doing in Manchester over the last weekend.
Right. And just to clarify, there is a regulator for broadcasting, say, in our case, Kamishu Naman, is the person, if there is a person, or a group of people that regulate us. So we do have regulation. But anyway, just to clarify that. So listen, okay. you all meet, but is it, new techniques and ethical things discussed as well?
It's actually everything. So it's new techniques. So I went to lectures on heart disease and skin disease and arthritis, where they're producing new drugs all the time to treat all these conditions much more effectively. And they're also learning more about early treatments, how to identify there's a problem before it gets too bad. And often early intervention is much, much better for the animal before the changes are too deep-seated. So for all those conditions, that's going on. We also learn about new ideas. And one of the latest ideas is about making veterinary clinics more pet-friendly. And they've taken a leaf out of the book of pediatric centres, whether it's clinics or hospitals, for young children who, you know, like animals, you can't explain to them where they're going and what can happen there. And so, and they naturally become quite anxious, just like pets do. And so they've designed these places now to be in lovely colours for children, and lots of playthings there, and making it so it's an enjoyable experience for the child. So they're now saying, this is what we need to do for pets as well. So when you go to a veterinary waiting room, you know, it'll be designed so that it's all exactly to make it as nice as possible for the animal. So colours, smells, sounds, activities, basically aiming at a zero-stress environment. Now, we do that to some extent already, like vets with a separate areas for waiting for dogs and for cats, and they might ask people to wait in the car park in their car if the animal doesn't like being in the waiting room. We do lots of things to try to make it easier for pets, and we use sedation as well. If an animal, you know, is so anxious that it becomes aggressive, which does happen sometimes, then sedation is something we very commonly do. But it was very interesting to hear specialists in behavior giving us advice on how to modify the way we do things to make it the best possible experience for pets. It's really interesting stuff.
Mm. I mean, years ago, a beloved pet, you had a chance to look after them if they were ill, and if not, well, maybe, unfortunately, they'd be euthanized in some way. There seems to be better ways maybe to make them better and extend their lives, but it all comes at a cost.
Yes, and in the UK at the moment, this is a very much a buzz topic, because there was a Competition Authority report which came out a few weeks ago, which was basically highlighting that, like, 15 years ago, only 10% of vet clinics were owned by corporate bodies. The rest, 90%, were owned by individual vets, whereas now 60% are owned by corporate bodies and only 40% by individual vets. So they were highlighting that there's a concern that has had an upward pressure on prices, because the corporates are investing in all sorts of great new equipment like MRI machines and CT scanners and all sorts of other interventions, which are fabulous, but they do come at a cost. So it means that overall, the cost of veterinary care has gone up. Not that the individual fees have gone up that much necessarily, but more that there's so much more that can be done.
Could I just interrupt you on that and say, a pensioner who, you know, they have company in the house with a pet, maybe we'll say a dog, for example, if there's a big sort of high-flying veterinary practice, and certainly not talking about yours, but a high-flying veterinary practice, and just say, well, I'll push this, MMR machine or whatever, something on this particular pensioner because of their pet and they're scared they might lose it, and they see them as some sort of, a cash cow of some sort and not really be thinking about somebody with a little pet.
Well, I think I don't think that happens all that much. It's more likely that what the vet will be saying is, if you want the absolute best for your pet, this is what you should do. And there's this thing called the gold standard that vets talk about. And the gold standard means doing absolutely everything you could possibly imagine to try to save the animal's life. And at lectures these days, they'll nearly always say, look, that's gold standard, but the pragmatic approach is this. And the pragmatic approach is basically, what can you do to get 90% of the benefit with kind of 20% of the cost, and so that you can at least say to people, look, there's a range of options here that you can choose from. If you want to do absolutely everything and you can afford it, this is what can be done. But if you can't afford it, then this is the alternative. So in most of the lectures these days now, they will actually talk about this very, very explicitly, because we're very, very aware as vets that people are on budgets and they can't always do the absolute top end of things. But it's a very difficult conversation because people always want the absolute top end of things, even if they can't afford it. But it's very hard to say to somebody, well, ideally you do this, but it's expensive, so, we'll do the second best thing. People don't like, emotionally, they don't like to accept the second best. So these are difficult conversations, Declan. And it is one of the reasons why vets encourage people to get their pets insured, because then you can automatically do the gold standard. You don't have to stop and have that difficult conversation.
Okay, Pete Weatherburn, Pete the Vet, just back from Manchester for that conference. Thanks very much, and Pete, good morning to you.
Thank you.
Take care. Morning show, East Coast.